The Fifth Dimension Catapult by Murray Leinster. Foreword and Chapter 1. Foreword. This story has no normal starting place because there are too many places where it might be said to begin. One might commence when Professor Denham, Ph.D., M.A., etc., isolated a metal that scientists have been talking about for many years without ever being able to smelt. Or it might start with his first experimental use of that metal with entirely impossible results. Or it might very plausibly begin with an interview between a celebrated leader of gangsters in the city of Chicago and a spectacled young laboratory assistant who had turned over to him a peculiar heavy object of solid gold and very nervously explained and finally managed to prove where it came from, with also impossible results because it turned King Jacaro, lord of vice resorts and rum runners, into a passionate enthusiast in non-Euclidean geometry. The whole story might be said to begin with the moment of that interview. But that leaves out Smithers, and especially it leaves out Tommy Reames. So on the whole, it is best to take up the narrative at the moment of Tommy's first entrance into the course of events. Chapter 1. He came to a stop in a cloud of dust that swirled up to and all about the big roadster, and surveyed the gate of the private road. The gate was rather impressive. At its top was a sign, "Keep Out." Halfway down was another sign, "Private Property, Trespassers Will Be Prosecuted." On one gatepost was another notice, "Live Wires Within," and on the other a defiant placard, "Savage Dogs at Large Within This Fence." The fence itself was all of 7 feet high and made of the heaviest of woven wire construction. It was topped with barbed wire and went all the way down both sides of a narrow right-of-way until it vanished in the distance. Tommy got out of the car and opened the gate. This fitted the description of his destination, as given him by a brawny, red-headed filling station attendant in the village some 2 miles back. He drove the roadster through the gate, got out and closed it piously, got back in the car and shot it ahead. He went humming down the narrow private road at 45 miles an hour. That was Tommy Reames' way. He looked totally unlike the conventional description of a scientist of any sort, as much unlike a scientist as his sport roadster looked unlike a scientist's customary means of transit. And ordinarily he acted quite unlike one. As a matter of fact, most of the people Tommy associated with had no faintest inkling of his taste for science as an avocation. There was Peter Dalzell, for instance, who would have held up his hands in holy horror at the idea of Tommy Reames being the author of that article on the mass and inertia of the tesseract, which in the Philosophical Journal had caused a controversy. And there was one Mildred Holmes, of no importance in the matter of the Fifth Dimension Catapult, who would have lifted beautifully arched eyebrows in bored unbelief if anybody had suggested that Tommy Reames was that Tommy Reames whose additions to Herglotz's Mechanics of Continua produced such diversities of opinion in scientific circles. She intended to make Tommy propose to her some day, and thought she knew all about him. And everybody, everywhere, would have been incredulous of his present errand. Gliding down the narrow fenced-in road, Tommy was a trifle dubious about this errand himself. A yellow telegraph form in his pocket read rather like a hoax, but it was just plausible enough to have brought him away from a rather important tennis match. The telegram read, "Professor Denham in extreme danger through experiment based on your article on dominant coordinates. You alone can help him. In the name of humanity, come at once. A. von Holtz." The fence went on past the car, a mile and a half of narrow lane, fenced in and made as nearly intruder-proof as possible. "Wonder what I'd do," said Tommy Reames, "if another car came along from the other end." He deliberately tried not to think about the telegram any more. He didn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. But he couldn't ignore it either. Nobody could. Few scientists, and no human being with a normal amount of curiosity. Because the article on dominant coordinates had appeared in